exciting show. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation, in the sunny slave South Pacific, live from the future every day. So that's why we give you the most up-to-date news, you know, because we're ahead of the dateline and whatnot. Anyway, lame jokes aside, we have a very special guest today, probably the second time he's come on the show, and quite grateful that he's kind of come on at such short notice even. His name's Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, welcome to the program.
Benny, it's a privilege to be with you, whether it be short notice or long notice, to hear that Australian, or should I say New Zealand, accent is always refreshing.
Refreshing is what we do down here in the South Pacific. Now, we've got some new info to be sharing with the audience today, because last time we had you on, the war with Iran was off the table for the elite. And now that situation seems to have been changed somewhat. So I'd love it if you could bring us up to speed, Lindsay.
Well, yes, Iran is still out there, a major issue, but at this point, there's so many other things that are important compared to that. As you notice, it literally has been put back on the back burner again, because Syria is much more important right now than what's happening in Iran. But yeah, there are many, many things out there. I wouldn't be too concerned about Iran right this minute. I don't think the president and the elite as such would allow a situation to take place in the way of actual missiles or warfare with Iran until maybe just up before the presidential election. And if they had to use it at that point in order to accomplish their purpose, they would.
Well, it seems like with American presidents, the only reason why they can't be unelected, you know, and get reelected again is if they start a war in the interim.
Well, there's never been a sitting president who wasn't reelected in time of warfare. And it's the opinion of some that they may possibly leave it till that point. If they need it, they could. And this president doesn't seem to know whether he's going to need it or not.
So is Obama in trouble? I'm seeing his approval ratings go down astronomically, basically. He's got a very low approval rating overall. And this Republican convention type thing just seems to be censoring out Ron Paul, even though some major straw polls are saying that, hey, if it was Ron Paul versus Obama, Ron Paul stood a good chance of winning.
Well, I am so glad you asked the question, because it leads into the new material that I have. I'm so glad, by the way, Vinny, that you have allowed me the privilege of being with you for 2 hours today, because I can take my time and give the background to all of this material instead of having to rush through it. So in order to answer the question about Mr. Obama and the possibility of his being in trouble, let me give just some background to myself and then bring it up to that point, if you would allow me to.
Go for your life.
Good. First of all, may I urge everyone out there in your listening audience today to please get a pencil and a piece of paper. You're going to hear some statements and predictions that will probably be the most unusual that I have ever given, and I've only begun giving these in the past few days because of something that happened. So, in the next few moments, while I'm giving some of my background, please get a pencil and piece of paper, because I'd like you to write down some of these things that you'll find very interesting. I know you have a lot of new listeners. It's been some time since I've been with you, Vinny. So, since some of the people out in the listening audience may not know my background, for just a moment, I'd like to give that so that people know where I'm coming from. For 12 years' time, I was a pastor of a church, and then I went to Alaska as a missionary. When I arrived in Alaska, I heard they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, and that 25,000 pipeliners would converge on the state to build that 800-mile, full-foot diameter pipe. I went to the 9 major oil companies that were responsible for the building of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, and I asked them if I could be allowed to be a chaplain on the pipeline? Well, after some persuasion, they said yes, but I had not the slightest idea what I was going to be getting into, because instead of just being the chaplain to the pipeliners, I was also chaplain to the elite of the world, because I was given the Prudhoe Bay area where the big oil field is in northern Alaska. And because of that, I was later given executive status, not with the right of voting in any meetings, but being allowed and asked to sit in board meetings and be in an advisory capacity in relationship to management and labor. Because of that, I literally lived with the elite of the world for a three-year period. The people you hear about in the World Bank, the IMF, and the top oil company officials of the world, and the experiences that I had during those 3 years. Now, keeping in mind that in the past, I had been the pastor of a church for 12 years, and same church, and it had the opportunity to counsel and work with many different types of problems. And here I am all of a sudden actually being allowed to sit in the board meetings with the elite of the world. And the things that I heard changed my life. I had difficulty at first believing I was seeing what I was seeing. I had heard people talk about things like this, but I didn't believe they existed. In fact, if someone had asked me prior to going to the pipeline as a chaplain, do you believe that there's a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world? Many, I would have laughed at them because, you know, pastors just don't believe that sort of thing. And if someone had asked me 3 years later, after living with these people, sitting across the dinner table from them, riding in the vehicle with them, spending hours and hours talking with them on their oil field, not in my church. It was quite different. If someone had asked me, do you believe there's a group of people who tell the president what to do, dictate to Congress what bills to pass, tell OPEC on any given day what they're going to give them for a barrel of oil, and control the currencies of the world, I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. Now, that was 35 years ago, and there were a number of those people who have kept in touch with me over the years. For some reason, even though we were as far as east is from west in our belief structure, they somehow appreciated the fact that I had given 3 years of my life, because the oil companies didn't pay me. My religious denomination did as a missionary. And I'd given 3 years of my life to be their chaplain, and they appreciated it enough that over these years, they have been willing to give me their phone number, stay in touch with me from time to time. And I call these people the elite of the world. And may I say as emphatically as I possibly can, as a man who has been a minister of the gospel for over 55 years and a believer in God's word, may I say as emphatically as I can, there positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. And over these 35 years, they have been willing to tell me things that were planned behind closed doors, because nothing ever happens by chance. No war happens by chance. No oil price increase or decrease happens by chance. No bill ever goes through Congress in the United States government by chance. No president ever becomes a president by chance. It's all done by design, plan, by a group of people. And I've had the privilege, I feel, by the providence of God. And the reason I use that expression, providence of God, because there is no way that a little insignificant, unknown missionary out in the bush of Alaska could have ever be allowed to sit in the board meetings with the elite of the world except by the providence of God. And I take no credit for it. I give him all the credit. Well, these elitists, keeping in touch with me over the years, and as you know, never one time has any prediction that they have ever made that I was willing to come out and tell the world through radio talk shows such as yours, Vinny, and others, never one time has any one of their predictions ever failed to take place exactly as they said it, because they plan it 6 months, a year, 2 months, 5 years, you know, who ahead of time. They know everything is going to happen. Well, a rather unusual thing happened 1 year ago, almost this month, a year ago. There was one of these elitist friends whom I call in my book, Energy Non-Crisis. I describe him as Mr. X, and I have kept his name unknown up until about a year ago. He died. He was 87 years of age. And I'm sure many people over all these years, when I've made these predictions and then they took place, many people thought, oh, well, that's just Lindsey Williams talking off the top of his head. But then as of last year, after he died, out of respect for his family, I'd kept his name somewhat subdued prior to that. But afterwards, I felt that I could give his name, and I gave the name of a gentleman by the name of Mr. Ken Fromm, F-R-O-M. And people immediately clamored to find out who he was, and when they did, they found out he was exactly who I said he had been all these years. He was the one of the chief executives, senior executives of Atlantic Richfield, and when he passed away, he had definitely been one of the elite of the world for many, many, many years. Well, after he passed away, there is still one of the gentlemen. He's in his 70s now. He still gives me information on a regular basis, just as Mr. Fromm used to. And this past in the past few weeks, he has given me some very unusual information. I think because of his children and his wife, he has become a very concerned person about what's happening to the entire world and the New World Order. He's retired in his 70s, and I'll just refer to him as Mr. X. If and when he ever passes away, I likewise would feel free to give his name. But I'd like to tell you some of the things he's told me just within the past few days. And this is the reason that I contacted you the other day and said that I had some new information. So those of you who have gotten pencils and paper, I'd like to tell you what I want to cover. And in the course of it all, I will answer Vinny's question about, is Mr. Obama in trouble? But some of the background to this will help you understand how I answer the question the way I do. These people have told me the following. Number one, when will the financial collapse, when will it take place? Now, I know this sounds startling. I have said for a long, long time there was going to be a financial crash, a collapse, but it would not take place yet. Well, they have told me when the financial collapse will take place, and I will give it in the course of this program today. Now, I know I'm sticking my neck out a long ways, but never one time have any of these elitists ever been wrong in the 35 years, because they have these things planned already, and they know exactly how it's going to happen. It's to their benefit. There's a second thing, and this will answer Vinny's question, and I will answer it in the course of this also. Why Mr. Obama may not be reelected. I hope you caught those two words that I emphasized. Why Mr. Obama may not be reelected. And this is so startling. When I was given it by my elitist friend, Mr. X himself, just recently, I was dumbfounded. And when you hear the background to this, you will readily understand from the news that you've heard over the last few months how this is coming about. And it's very interesting. So thirdly, they have given me some secrets of the elite that I have never been willing to give out, and basically have told me that I can give them. And I'll give some of those today. So those pencils and paper, you'll find them very handy. Next, I'm going to go into the subject of the Keystone Pipeline in order to answer the question why Mr. Obama may not be reelected. Now, the Keystone Pipeline is that pipeline that was proposed by Canada to be built from Alaska, from the North Slope of Alaska, where the big oil field is, transversing the entire state of Alaska and coming to the United States of America, where, of course, the oil could be carried by existing pipelines all over this country. And that Keystone Pipeline was a key issue that was canceled by the President of the United States of America, Mr. Obama, just a matter of weeks ago. And the Keystone Pipeline, okay, I'll get into it in just a moment. And then one last subject that, and again, Benny, I'm so appreciative that you would give me the time that you've given me today, because we've got so much material here to cover that literally is shattering, earth-shattering, and will save your listeners so many heartaches because they know this. One of the subjects that has come up recently in these conversations is what kind of currency to get into immediately in light of the fact that there is going to be a financial collapse that will take place, and it'll be worldwide. It will not just be the American dollar. It's going to affect the euro. It's going to affect Europe. It'll affect you folks down under. It'll affect the entire world. This is not going to be just a nation, a United States greenback currency. And they have suggested to me what currency that people should immediately get into. So, Benny, with these things in mind, would you mind if I cover all those subjects today? And some of them will be very controversial, I'm quite sure, but if you're willing for me to, I'll be glad to cover them.
Well, I don't shirk away from controversy. It's kind of the reason why I do what I do, because the things that are controversial are usually the things that will just change your entire worldview. And if you refuse to change your worldview, the world will just change anyway without you.
Yes, you're right. And that's the reason it's such a privilege to be with you today, because you're allowing me to cover these things, and then the people who are taking notes on what I'm saying and putting those notes beside their calendar, and then they can check these things off one at a time as they see them happening.
Well, we're coming up on break, Lindsay, so we'll get into it just after that. We've got about a couple of minutes for you all, ladies and gentlemen, to sit back, find a pen and paper or something of that nature. Or better yet, try and find the archives pages at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Coming to us live from the U.S. of A. Pastor, welcome back. Lindsay, are you there?
Benny, thank you again for letting me be with you today. You know, I was just thinking during the commercial break, I believe the reason that the Lord allowed me to be the chaplain to the elite of the world was so I could be here today on a program such as this, and help people know what it is that the elite are doing. And I feel so honored that God would ever allow me the privilege of knowing and being able to let people know in advance what is going to happen. And I would urge you, please, everyone out there in the listening audience of American Freedom Radio, please listen to my concerned elitist friends, because America as we know it today is doomed unless something is done. We are on a course of the New World Order, and the freedom that we know is very much at stake. Now,
can I ask you, this kind of thing that's happening here, the elite have a designed plan, right, for a New World Order. Is there also a countercurrent, or rather a divine plan, do you think?
Oh, there positively is. And if I thought that the only plan or the only hope there was for this world was a New World Order, I would have long since have hidden myself someplace, and I'm not a young man anyway, I'm up in my 70s, but I would have long since have hidden myself someplace and retired and quit. And the person asked me the other day, they said, are you ever going to retire? I said, not on your life. I said, there is no retirement in the Bible. I said, Moses walked to his own funeral. So I'll just keep on at it until that day. There is time for every person out there to do something about it. I want you to know that according to the times and dates and so on that I'll try to suggest today, you have time. You have a window of opportunity right now that is so golden for you to do something about what you're going to hear. You definitely don't want to lose sleep over it at night. You positively don't look behind bushes and worry. That won't do you an ounce of good. But when you know the issues, then you can do something about it and make preparation in advance. So there is time. Now, just recently, something marvelous has happened And it's very much to your advantage. Everyone out there in the listening audience, especially, and Benny, you'll appreciate this also. Just recently, another individual who experienced almost the identical same thing that I experienced on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline years ago, except he experienced it on Wall Street. He's a Wall Street insider. I'm going to give his name in a moment. You can prove this for yourself. You won't find anything hearsay today. You'll find facts and figures and names and dates. So I won't beat around the bush with any of it. With my elitist friend being up in his 70s, still alive, and the other one passed away, I feel free now to be able to give all of these things. This Wall Street insider came forward, I should say, a number of months ago. He and I have had many conversations. In fact, he actually came and was with me for 2 days here just recently. He became so concerned about the corruption on Wall Street until he decided to come forth with his story. And the first time he's ever given it was about a week and a half ago. He actually came out and appeared with me on camera and gave his entire story of what he saw in Wall Street, what he sees happening, and the corruption that he experienced there. It is so startling. And when we compared notes, we found out that he experienced on Wall Street exactly what I experienced on the pipeline. Now, write his mind down, his name, and go and to the Internet or wherever you'd like to prove it for yourself, and then I'll tell you later how you can personally talk with him if you want to. He'll prove both his story and much of what I lived on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. His name is Mr. Tom Filer, F-Y-L-E-R. He is a Wall Street insider, and if you'd like to talk with him personally, he is so concerned about what's happening in the financial world until he said, "Chaplain, I may as well just do the same thing you're doing and come forward with all of this." And in our new DVD series, it's not even out yet. The first ones won't even be shipped out for about a week from now. They're still in the editing process. There are 3 hours of DVD, three DVDs, in which four of the leading people in the financial world in America volunteered of their time, because they're so concerned about what's happening, they volunteered of their time to work with me on producing a literal college education in finances. I mean, I've never been able to get a group of people like this together before. And here about a week and a half ago, they actually came, appeared before camera, and we did 3 hours of DVDs. And on his DVD, Mr. Tom Fowler, he actually gives his phone number where people can contact him if they want to, because what he had to say is so startling. Now, I think at this point, possibly the best thing for me to say is, Vinny, I've had the privilege of being on your show before. It has been some time, but let me say, I told you so, everyone. And I say this very modestly. Back about last September, October, I went on many radio shows across the country, and every newsletter writer out there was saying, "Oh, this is going to be a financial crash in September, October, November." And it was just a sure thing. Greece was going to declare bankruptcy. Everyone thought that the financial system in Europe, the European Union, the euro, would collapse along with Greece. And I was on the phone with my elitist friend, and I came back to these radio shows, and I said, "Folks, I'm going to have to apologize that I am disagreeing with every newsletter writer that I know of." But I said, "I've got to tell you what they're telling me." I said, "There is not going to be a financial crash during September, October, November, and December." I said, "It will not happen." And then it came around December and January, and I was back on the phone with my elitist friend again. And he said, "Chaplain, it's not time yet." He said, "I know. All these newsletter writers are saying it. They knew it." And I was seeing it everywhere, all over the Internet and every place else. Nearly every talk show was saying it. I was on one very prominent talk show. I won't name the talk show host's name. And he said to me, he said, "Lindsay, I don't think the American dollar is going to last until the end of 2012. And you've said that the American dollar won't be dead until the end of 2012. He said, "I don't think it's going to last that long. Do you?" I said, "Well, I hope you're wrong and I'm right, for the sake of everybody having time to be able to do what they need to do between now and then." And Well, then I came back in December, and I said, my elitist friends have told me there is not going to be a financial collapse. And it's right in the archives of many radio shows that I was on. I said, they told me there is not going to be a financial collapse in December, in January, in February, or in March. And we've always already gone past the Ides of March. We've gone past Greece, for all practical purposes, declaring bankruptcy. You know, they didn't actually call it that, but that's what it turned out to be. And then you're going to have Italy and France are going to come up next. And there was not a financial collapse. I mean, the whole world is still holding together, and the dollar is doing quite well, and we haven't had the financial collapse. And it's almost as if some of these people are sitting back and saying, oh, my goodness, Chaplain, these elite were right again. No, it's not me that was right. It was the elite and the things that they were telling me, because they want to create such massive credit. And in every place in the world, they want to create a system whereby everything, whenever it does finally bankrupt, whenever they allow the collapse to take place, there will be so much debt in every country in the world, and in the United States of America, in every city, in every state, in every county, in Australia, New Zealand, all over the world. They want debt, massive debt, created in every country before they allow the financial crash to take place. And this is what I tried to tell people back last September and October when my elitist friends told me this. And this is the reason that I said a moment ago, everyone out there in the audience today, you have a golden opportunity, a window right now that you can take care of what you want to take care of while the currency is still viable and you have an opportunity to do something about it. I will make this prediction, though. The dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. Now, please understand the wording very carefully. I did not say that the dollar will be non-existent. There's a big difference in being non-existent and dead. For it to be non-existent, that means it's no longer out there. It would not be the reserve currency of the world. It would not be the petrodollar. But to say that it's going to be dead would mean that its purchasing power for the average American and others in the world who are using it would have diminished so much to the point that inflation would be rampant and the dollar's value and its purchasing power would have diminished to a major point. And that's what they tried to explain to me, that their plans is for the dollar to be dead, not non-existent, by the end of 2012. So that means then that the stock market is not an indicator of anything. And I would stress this to everyone out there in the listening audience.
I find funny is that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up higher than I've ever seen it in my lifetime. And at the same time, I was watching Bloomberg just this morning, Lindsay, and they have this ad that runs through it saying the banks are giving out money and printing it all over the place, you know, and they've got these like three little cartoon banks sitting there and all this money spewing out of them, and the banks suddenly kind of get piled up on these big piles of money, and it encourages investors to take on huge amounts of debt from these banks, you know? Yeah. And it's like, dude. Debt is not a way to help your economy. It just isn't. You know, show me a place where huge quantities of debt has helped an economy.
Well, that's what it's all about. That's exactly what the elite want. They want to create such massive debt that whenever they finally do let the collapse take place, they can, well, let's take Greece, for instance. They can step into Greece and say, Greece, we bought your bonds. We bought your paper. We bailed you out time after time after time. The euro, Italy, France, America, $15, $16 trillion of debt. We saw to it that through the Federal Reserve, we kept just letting you keep on making all that debt. Now, you don't have any choice. You must accept our new currency. Your currency has collapsed. It's failed. You must accept our new world order. What they want is to get the entire world into such massive created debt, artificial most of it, to the point that whenever they do finally decide to allow the collapse to take place, that they'll be able to step in and say, America, your Constitution, you may as well forget about it. You're so broke. You're in such financial condition. What difference does it make? You have no choice. You have to accept our new world currency. You have to accept our new world order. Now, let me try to explain why the stock market means nothing. I have predicted for months that this was going to happen to the stock market. It's right in the archives of many shows that I've been on, and I'm predicting it again. It's going to keep going up and up and up and up. The stock market is not an indicator of anything today. Don't pay any attention to it. Don't even listen to the stock market report every day. It doesn't mean a thing. And whenever I was told when the financial collapse will take place, which I'm getting around to that, but I had to give you some background, you will understand why the stock market is not an indicator of anything. Now, let me show you what's happening to the American dollar. And here again, you have that pencil and paper handy. Please write these down. You'll find this so interesting and for future use. Just recently, China and Japan signed the largest trade agreement that's ever been signed by any nations on the face of this earth in all of history. And they said they were going to trade amongst themselves. And in this trade agreement, they said, we will not use the American dollar for that sale and trade. That means that the first nail in the coffin of the American dollar as a reserve currency of the world took place about 2 months ago. Up until that time, as long as anyone is known in modern history, the American dollar has had the wonderful status of being the petrodollar and being the world reserve currency dollar. It is no longer that. China and Japan said, we'll not use the American dollar for our sale and trade. Secondly, Iran and India. This is so important. Now think on this, and you'll begin to see the picture. When the puzzle is put together here, you will see the entire picture, and you will be utterly amazed. And then I'll come down to Mr. Obama and the financial collapse. And by that time, you'll be able to see the whole picture because of what you're hearing. Iran and India, well, we put sanctions on Iran, the United States of America did. Then the European Union came along and said, we will not allow any European Union nation to buy any oil from Iran as of June of 2012. And then the United Nations came along and placed sanctions. Well, it didn't mean much, but they placed sanctions on Iran. So poor Iran is sitting out here with approximately 3.5 million barrels of oil every 24 hours. They're the fourth largest oil producer in the world. And here they're sitting out here with all of this oil. And what are they going to do with it? The American dollar.
We should find out what they do with it just after the break. Here comes the music. Sorry to interrupt, Lindsay. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Pastor Lindsay Williams is my guest for the duration of this 2 hours. In fact, we've only got an hour and 20 minutes left in it. You know, it goes so fast. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison, just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Yeah, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. Hey, and we had a question earlier on from somebody in one of the chat rooms that we're monitoring here. Is this preacher for real, do you think? And I said, well, he's been right every time before, and it's not because he's making it up. It's because it's planned. You know, the world actually has planned events that happen all the time. No different to how a music concert is planned. They plan wars, they plan economic crises, they plan debt bubbles, they plan derivatives crises. They plan everything. Okay, these people aren't really concerned with how humanity thrives. They're really only concerned about how much power they continue to have while they dominate humanity as a whole. Isn't that right? Lindsay Williams is my guest. Welcome back, Pastor. Now, we were talking about what Iran was going to do with all their oil. Please continue.
Yes, Vinny, I thank you so much for that message from your chat room. Let me assure all of your listeners out there, this preacher is very much for real. I've been a minister of the gospel for over 55 years. I'm not a young fella. But I had the privilege, by the providence of God, being the chaplain to the elite of the world years ago, and it helped to shape my life for the job I'm doing today and helping you know the issues. Then you just merely watch them come to pass. So, yes, let's get back to Iran and India. For those who have just tuned in, China and Japan, first of all, signed this trade agreement about 2 months ago, saying that they will trade amongst themselves, the largest trade agreement ever signed on the face of the earth in all of history. And they said, we will not use the American dollar. The reason that the dollar has had that wonderful status for our lifetime, yours and mine, Benny, is because the whole world needed it. They couldn't sell and trade. They couldn't buy amongst themselves. Everything had to be done with American dollars. Well, that's not true anymore. When China and Japan signed that agreement, it was the first nail in the coffin. Then Iran came along. And the world said, oh, no, 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 you've got to stop all this nuclear over in Iran. So they put sanctions. America put sanctions on them and said, you can't use the American dollar. You mean all that oil you've got, 3.5 million barrels every 24 hours? No, 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 no. No country in the world is going to be allowed to use the American dollar any longer for the sale and trade and purchase and so on of Iranian oil. Well, this was well and good, except that India, who desperately needs oil, just as China does, stepped up and said, Iran, no problem. We'll be glad to solve that problem. We will take 1 million barrels. Now, look on the Internet, watch your news. You'll hear this for yourself and prove it true. Of course, my elitist friend talked to me about all these things all the time, so naturally it's just everyday occurrence to hear me, have me talk about them. So India came along and said, oh, we'll be glad to accept your 1 million barrels of oil that the European Union won't take any longer after June the 1st, but we'll go ahead and begin taking it right now since the American dollar can't be used anymore. America's put sanctions on you. The UN's got sanctions on you. Now the European Union's going to put on sanctions as of June the 1st. We will be glad to take 1 million barrels of oil every 24 hours and... Oh, please watch your news. You have seen this in the past, but maybe you picked up on it, maybe you didn't. India says, we will be glad to take that 1 million barrels of oil, Iran, and we will pay you in gold. You did catch that, didn't you?
You know, that's very scary. That's very scary for me because it seems every single time somebody starts to think about trading oil for gold, they get invaded.
Yeah. I mean, and Iran sitting over there, we could not, in America and the UN and the European Union, could not have done Iran a greater favor than to sell 1 million barrels of oil every 24 hours to India and get paid in gold. Who wants worthless paper
anyway? It's like, don't throw me in the briar patch. Please don't pay me with something that's actually got storable wealth and isn't a fiat currency created by a global banking cartel that wants to indebt us and destroy us.
Yeah, here we shot ourselves in the foot. And the United States of America and our State Department is sitting back. They must be in hysteria by now. So let's come down to the third one. And this one you'll have to go and look up for yourself also. You'll find it. And you see what's happening to the American dollar, one after the other. It's no longer the petrodollar. It's no longer the reserve currency of the world. And I'm warning you right now, by the end of 2012, I've been told this by my elitist. I said it 2 years ago when I was first told it. By the end of 2012, the dollar will be dead. Now, there's one other factor that fits into this that you'll likewise catch very quickly. Saudi Arabia, the supplier of more oil to the United States of America than any other OPEC oil-producing country, Saudi Arabia just signed an agreement in the past few days with China, of all people. China's economy is growing so fast, they are desperately in need of crude oil. So Saudi Arabia came to the rescue of China and said, we will build an oil refinery in China. Saudi Arabia is building an oil refinery in China and will sell China massive amounts of crude. I don't know the exact amount yet. And they said, we will not use the American dollar for the sale and the trade of that crude oil. Now, are you getting the picture? China and Japan, Iran and India, Saudi Arabia and China, an oil refinery in China. No American dollars needed. We are no longer the petrodollar of the world. We have lost this status in 2 months alone. Think what it's going to be by the end of 2012. You can readily understand why my elitist friend told me a long time ago the dollar will be dead as the reserve currency of the world by the end of 2012. Now, I want to answer the question that I'm quite sure all of you thought I wouldn't answer. You thought I was joking with you. I'm not, and I'm going to answer it right now, and that is, when will the financial collapse take place? Yeah, I'm hesitating for a moment because I know you're all sitting back saying, if this guy wasn't a kook before, I know he is now. So whenever I give you the background on this, you'll definitely understand how this is true. I forecast back when my friends told me back last fall, I said, there is not going to be a financial collapse in September, October, November, and December. I came back in January, and on many radio stations across America, I said, there's not going to be a collapse in January, February, and March. I am telling you now, the elite do not have a collapse planned for March, April, and May. Why? They are creating massive, massive debt. Everything imaginable, from derivative debt to bank debt to international debt to the destruction of the petrodollar to the destruction of the American dollar being used as a reserve currency. But I was just told here recently, and Mr. Tom Fowler will verify this. I'm urging you again, people, and I'm trying my best. In fact, Tom Fowler, he has never done this before. He is a Wall Street insider. He has never been willing to appear on camera and risk his... He's not a young man. He's not quite as old as I am, but he's an older gentleman. He would walk out of the office on his street in his office in Wall Street and look up at the Twin Towers. For years he was there. He could not stand the corruption on Wall Street any longer, and he left New York. And finally,
he'd be one of many, because there's been well over 100, nearly 500 top banking CEOs have quit in the last like 5-6 months.
Yes, you're right, Vinny, and I'm glad that you saw that. You have the names of the. I actually have the names of the ones. I think you probably do too. It's been all over the internet of the ones who have resigned, and Tom Fowler did the same thing. And then he and I got to know each other about a year ago, and we just struck it off very quickly. He's a fine, born-again Christian gentleman, and at the same time, he is an honest person who cannot lead his clients wrong. And finally, I said, Tom, you need to tell the world this so that we can compare notes. And he did. About a week and a half ago, he actually came here, appeared before camera, and the series that we made is entitled Secrets of the Elite. There are actually four individuals, very prominent people in the financial field, the most prominent being Tom Fowler. You'll actually see his picture. You'll have his phone number. You can contact him if you want to. And nobody could probably give you any better financial advice. And he helped us make the three-hour DVD series Secrets of the Elite. And when we compared notes with what my elitist friend had been telling me, and what Tom Fowler had heard on Wall Street, I want to give you when the financial collapse will take place. You can know. You don't have to have it caught you off guard. It doesn't have to catch you off guard. Now, let me go.
Ironically, we're coming to a break, so we're actually going to have to leave you on a cliffhanger here, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll tell you the date of the planned financial collapse when we come back. My very special guest is Lindsay Williams. The last time that we uploaded a video of Lindsay Williams to the Vinnie Eastwood show, got 20,000 hits relatively quickly, and you can go and see that one there. It's called The Elite Have a 2012 Plan of Collapse. That was the first interview that we did together. The quite incredible, insightful stuff. And of course, there's more coming up after the break. Join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it is the most important question. Pastor Lindsay Williams coming up in a few minutes. Gentlemen, it's now hour number two. Fastest 2 hours in talk radio in the fracking universe. And I use the word fracking operatively because it's a far more offensive thing than the regular old F word. And conveniently, the original one, you can't say under FCC regulations, even though sometimes it's certainly warranted considering the topics of which we discuss are quite maddening, enraging, and controversial. They change your life when you wake up and you figure out that the world is not all as it has been for the last 10, 20, 30 years. You've been growing up, spending your life working in jobs where people don't appreciate you, wondering why everybody seems like such an idiot, wondering why people keep voting for the same fools wearing different coloured eyes. And why the policy and the words and rhetoric that comes out of their mouth all seems to be the same. And why people don't notice it, even though it's right in front of their face. This is the recognition, that's even a word, and if it isn't, I just invented it, of a dream. Realizing that you've been asleep this entire time too. Realizing that not only is everybody else brainwashed, but I was brainwashed as well. But look how far we've all come. Now, isn't that interesting? No matter how badly brainwashed you get, you can always be woken up and be brought around with a little bit of truth. It's the only remedy. As far as I'm concerned, Pastor Lindsay Williams is my guest. After the last break, we were talking about the date of the coming financial collapse. But go ahead.
Vinny, back in the time of the Great Depression in 1929, and of course back to 1933, very, very difficult times, there were people who made great fortunes. Not everyone stood in a soup line. And the people who knew what the Federal Reserve was doing, which of course the Federal Reserve basically has been a part of the elite over all of these years, these elitists are a part of that Federal Reserve, and people who knew what the Federal Reserve was going to do, and they knew what was going to happen with the Great Depression, they made great fortunes out of it. They didn't stand in soup lines. Now, that can be true with you also. There is no reason why you cannot take advantage of this window of opportunity that is open to you right now. Now, I have predicted it, and it has happened since last September, that there has not been a financial collapse yet. Even Greece, for all practical purposes, declared bankruptcy, and it did not bring down the euro, nor will Italy and Greece, whenever they have and France, when they have the same thing happen that Greece had. Now, you are going to see a financial collapse, and you have a golden window of opportunity right now. When I lived with the elite back numbers of years ago, there's some things I learned about them. One of the things was that they have a code of ethics. I know that sounds strange, but remember, I had been the pastor of a church for 12 years and had had much opportunity of dealing, counseling with people. I graduated from college with a bachelor's degree and had experience in trying to analyze and people. And I had the same experience with the elite. I had an opportunity to learn everything about them from the inside out because I was on their oil field. They were not in my church. One of the things I learned is that they do have a code of ethics, not the same one that you and I would have, Benny, and those out in your
listening audience,
quite sure.
A similar one to the one the mafia has, more like.
Yes, exactly. That'd be a good way of putting it. And in their code of ethics, one of the facets of that code of ethics is that they must tell the world what they're going to do before they do it. Now, I hope you caught that. Now, for years, different people have been watching the United States stock market, and they said, whenever the stock market crashes, we're going to have a financial collapse. No. Don't pay any attention to the ups and the downs in the stock market. It positively means nothing. For some time, I was even guilty of watching the euro because Mr. Fromm, back numbers of years ago before he passed away, he died about a year ago. And about 3 years ago, Mr. Fromm said to me, he said, Chaplain, you've got about 2 to 3 weeks after the euro collapses before you're going to lose your American paper currency. And he said, you must get out of all paper. Within that's IRAs, 401ks, American dollars, whatever it may be. He said, you must get out of all paper within 3 to 4 weeks after the euro crashes, or he said, you'll lose it. And I said, all kinds of paper. He said, yes, I don't care what it is. He said, if it is written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. So don't pay any attention. And I watched the euro for a long time. And that still is true, exactly what he told me back years ago. But you need to be more aware even than that. And I've been watching crude oil prices because so many times the petrodollar is connected with the world reserve currency. They're kind of one entwined. So I watched crude oil prices. Well, I was just given it a few days ago as to how you can know when the financial collapse will take place, and it all revolves around one word. And you may not even know how to spell it. I didn't either when I first heard it back about a year ago. I didn't have the slightest idea what it was. But, oh my goodness, have I made some studies about it. And in our new DVD series, Secrets of the Elite, one of the well-known financial individuals that you will see in about a 30-minute sector of this three-hour DVD, he takes this word and he goes into it meticulously so that you will understand in light of the fact that this will be your sign as to when the financial collapse is going to take place. And the word is derivatives. Now, they're very evasive. You're going to have to do some studying on this.
Sum it up in two sentences, Lindsay. There's one person that I talked to who was once working in the financial sector, Alan Duff. He does Veterans Today. And when he was offered this job selling derivatives trading, he said, isn't this illegal? Will I go to jail for doing this? And they're like, no, you get paid heaps. And he refused the job. First of all, that's the kind of character that would refuse to sell derivatives to people. Second person I talked to, a man named Greg Hallett in a cafe. He was writing a couple of books about, you know, various machinations of scumbaggery, including the book named Hitler Was a British Agent. And he said to me, the shorthand for derivatives is that basically you're calling $1, $40, and then you're gambling it on the stock market at 1,000 to 1.
Yes, that's exactly right. Your explanation was perfect. And there is no control over them. Numbers of times Congress has had the idea they wanted to pass some controls for derivatives, and every time the elite stepped in and said, no, don't you dare do it, and paid them off. And no bill has ever passed. There are no controls on derivatives whatsoever. They're some of the most evasive instruments that you could ever imagine of. They can be multiplied over and over and over again. I am begging of you to make a study on your own of derivatives, and please let one of my speakers help you in our DVD series, Secrets of the Elite, because he does the best job of explaining it. I never could find a definition. I have tried for over a year to find a definition that I was satisfied of derivatives, and I couldn't find it because they're so evasive and because there are no laws whatsoever controlling them. you must understand derivatives, because here it is. Don't pay any attention to the stock market. You can watch the euro if you'd like. Crude oil prices, they may mean something. You watch derivatives. The sign as to when the financial collapse is going to take place is when derivatives begin to collapse. Now, you'll know it. Just like many people knew prior to the 1929 stock market crash, they knew what signs to watch. And this, again, Benny, is why I am so appreciative that the Lord allowed me years ago to be in touch with these elite, is so that I could help you be warned, forewarned, spare your dinner table, and spare yourself much heartache. And I am begging you, watch derivatives. Don't watch anything else. Pay no attention to Iran. It doesn't matter what happens in China. It doesn't matter what happens in India. Don't pay any attention to even the American dollar when it goes up and down, or even our T-bills. All of those things will be secondary. You will know when the financial collapse is about to take place, whenever you see the derivative market begin to collapse, and it will take place. It won't be long before it does. I have tried to help you understand that you have a window of opportunity right now to do something about it, because the American dollar still has a fairly good purchasing power, and there is going to be a time when it will have completely lost its status. And whenever you see the derivative market begin to collapse, and please, if any of you want to talk personally with Mr. Tom Fowler, he is so concerned about this country and about the finances of the people who follow what I'm giving, that the elite are telling me, and he compares his notes to what he saw on Wall Street. Tom Fowler, in this, tells the time that he was sitting at his desk in Wall Street many, many years ago, and he heard for the first time the word derivative used. He didn't even know it existed. I mean, he didn't know what it was. And they tried to say you need to start selling these derivatives. And then shortly after that, and he tells us, I mean, this is so startling. He said he was actually handed a memo from one of the top elite. And he knows who they are, too. He calls them the powers that be. I'll refer to them as the elite. And in our DVD series, Secrets of the Elite, you will hear him call them the powers that be, but they're all the same people. He was handed a memo from one of them that said, do not tell people what this is all about. And he was told back in the 80s that derivatives would be the method whereby they would bring about a worldwide financial collapse. Now, you're going to be so startled when you see that. He was actually told way back in the 80s when he was on Wall Street that they would use the derivative. I hope you're catching this. So you've got to understand what they are, that they would use derivatives in order to bring about the worldwide financial collapse. So when you begin to see the derivative market fall, you will also see the euro fall. You'll see the American dollar collapse. You need to have your house in order before then. The stock market will begin to collapse after you see the derivative market begin to collapse. Now, there have been some major cracks in the derivative market just within the past 2 to 3 years because of what happened with the real estate market in the United States of America. And so much of the real estate market had been packaged and sold all over the world, and they basically were derivative. The word derivative comes from the word derived. They took these financial assets. If I could explain it this way, very briefly, I'll give it to you. I know time is getting along here, but very briefly, I'll give it to you. Let's say that a person takes a down payment and makes it on a house with any one of the financial institutions of America. And, of course, it finally goes through Fannie and Freddie and guaranteed and all that sort of thing. Doesn't mean too much. But with any one of the financial institutions, they made a down payment and they bought a new house. There were thousands of other people that did the same thing during the housing boom. And they would take those mortgages because the financial institutions could not handle massive amounts of these mortgages. They had to sell them so that they could make other mortgages. So they took them and packaged them together. They might sell 100 of them. They might sell 1,000 of them. They may sell 10,000 of them. And they sold those house mortgages, which were derived, you catching this word? The word derivative comes from the word derived, and it was derived from financial instruments that had some backing. The backing on that house mortgage was the person had made a down payment. Well, that doesn't mean the house was paid for. It only means they maybe put down 5%, 10% on it. But they took that mortgage and sold it at 100%. And they never, when they sold those mortgages, they never revealed the jeopardy of them. But they sold them all over the world. They sold them in Europe. They sold them all over the world.
They even paid off the credit rating agencies to give them AAA ratings to say that these are good as gold. They're not toxic debt derivative assets at all.
Yeah. And so they were backed by nothing but that little down payment that was made. And then they turned around and took those instruments and resold them. They would sell them in order to buy something else. And then they'd resell them again, who had bought them, to buy something else. Do you realize that they have multiplied these things so many times that one little down payment that was made on that house has now been used to sell and resell and purchase and buy and resell all over again? These new products, and catch these words carefully, I'm actually reading it from the definition, because I had a wonderful time trying to. I've had a marvelous time studying this. These new products called derivatives were used to base and create other financial assets, derived derivatives from new products that were simple bets. That's all in the world they became, because they were used and reused so many times, and it's exactly like going to Las Vegas and placing a bet in a slot machine. These companies were betting that these mortgages would turn out and would remain good, and instead the bubble burst, and down the line, many, many, many generations, these derivatives lost their value. And we almost had a worldwide financial collapse in the last few months of the Bush administration, but the elite weren't ready yet. They didn't want it to happen, so they came up with QE1, QE2. Now they're talking about QE3, quantitative easing. Every bit of this is a part of keeping this derivative market propped up long enough for them to get every nation in the world, every city in America, every county, every state into such massive debt that when they finally begin to bring it about, it will collapse. You want to watch the derivative market, and when you see it collapse, not the stock market, not the euro, not even crude oil prices, but when you begin to see the derivative market collapse, you know that the worldwide financial collapse has been allowed to take place by the elite, and I don't think it'll be too long in the future, but take advantage of this window of opportunity that you have right now. Now, Benny, that's a mouthful, but
that's a good mouthful to stop on, because we're about to go to a break, Lindsay. You know, in accordance with divine plan, as it were. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Pastor Lindsay Williams is my guest, and we're still having for another 40 minutes or so. And we have people out there that have been going into the chat room and telling us that they've got the entire house listening to this. So I want to say hi, everybody who's listening in for the first time. I hope you're enjoying it, because it's always some interesting stuff when we've got Lindsay on. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino, I'm Latina, Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where'd you rather stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to our planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slavery. They
They bring a $100 and loan it to you. They charge interest on the loan, but don't pull the interest, so there'll never be enough money to pay off all the debt. What do you get? Crash and burn. When will my people learn the truth? Come on now, before
it's too late.
I got a new law for you. Let's make charging interest illegal and I'll tear it all.
So welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about casting off the shackles of debt. Hey, and interestingly enough, I want to interject something here about people who are working on Wall Street financial institutions, working in the parliament buildings and all of that kind of stuff. Even the ones who think that they're in control, who have immense amounts of power, can buy as much cocaine, hookers and limo rides as they want any old time of the day or night. Those kind of people, they all still wear around with collared shirts and a suit jacket. So they've got a collar around their neck. And what have they got around their wrists? They got cuffs. So a guy's walking around with a tie as a leash, a collar around his neck, and cuffs around his wrists, and thinks that he's free, thinks that he's powerful, never recognizing the true meaning of what he wears on him all day, every day. Pastor Lindsay Williams is my guest, and we were getting into talking about the derivatives bubble and crises. And, you know, some people would say that there's certain crises that are more important than others. Like, let's say they're twice as important, three times as important, etc. The derivative crisis is quadrillions of times more important than virtually any other in economic terms. Such is the massive, unbelievable amount of debt that has been created. Like, most of the world's wealth now is simply based upon fraudulent, manufactured, computer-based numbers. They've been flying around, ain't linked to anything anymore. What happens when you've got your entire economy dependent on the survival of something that technically doesn't even exist? Like gambling debts into the mafia. What happens if you don't pay your debts? You get your thumbs chopped off, or something to that effect. Because the mafia, like the New World Order, but unlike the government, has a code of conduct. Lindsay Williams, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. And now let's take a subject that I think everyone out there will be very interested in. My latest friend gave me this just a matter of days ago. Why Mr. Obama may not, did you hear those words, may not be reelected? When you see these pieces put together again, it'll be like the others that we've dealt with here this afternoon. Oh, my goodness, is it going to be a picture for you? First of all, let's go back to the word Keystone Pipeline. The Keystone Pipeline was to be built across Canada. It was to go all the way from northern Alaska and was to come across Canada and to the United States, and they could bring the oil out. Now, let me explain why this Keystone Pipeline is so important. Now, our president canceled out on it. You'll remember. First, let's go back to your remembrance. Remember that the president, Obama, announced that he was going to make an announcement on a certain date about the acceptance or rejection of the Keystone Pipeline. Now, please go back in your memory and think about this for a moment. He waited 2 weeks, approximately, before he made the announcements after he originally said he would make the announcement. And the average person didn't know to have the slightest idea why he waited. I know, and I'm going to tell you in just a moment because my allegiance friend told me. He finally came out and said, it is not to the benefit of America to have part in the Keystone Pipeline. When I get through telling this story, you're going to see some major pictures here. He said, it's not to the benefit. Now, that meant that thousands of Americans would not have a job. Literally, it would have given jobs to thousands and thousands of Americans. You say, well, Mr. Obama wants to produce jobs. Well, he didn't on this particular case. And when you find out why, this is what will be so important. Secondly, it could have meant billions of dollars to the United States economy and could have been one of the greatest things ever happened to us. Now, There is a reason why all of this. And so when Mr. Obama canceled out on the Keystone Pipeline, I picked up the telephone one day, and I called my elitist friend, Mr. X, as I call him in my book, Energy and on Crisis, gentleman retired from Atlantic Richfield, and I picked up the phone and called him, and I said, why did Mr. Obama cancel out on the Keystone Pipeline? Well, he gave some background, and then he gave a statement. And when I make the statement that he made, and by the way, the words are good. I won't tell you all the words he said, but I'll give you the good ones. And when he made his statement, it was almost like a light turning on. First of all, let me tell you why the Keystone Pipeline was so important to the elite. Now, I hope you caught that expression. The Keystone Pipeline was vitally important to the elite. And for this, you want to go on the web after this program today. Now, don't you dare change your dial right now to go do it. But after the program today, you go on the web and look, and you will find this as a fact. Many of you don't realize just how important this is. You will after this. This past summer, the largest drill rig that has ever been built on the face of the earth was moved to Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. It came up on the flotilla that was brought in by Fort Wainwright. And they put it on Gull Island, of all places. Now, 35 years ago, I had the privilege of actually being with a group of elitists when they watched the largest oil pool that had ever been discovered on the face of the earth, brought in and proven. They drilled into it. It's on a little island about 2 miles out in the Arctic Ocean, north of Prudhoe Bay. And within 24 hours' time, all of the information about that find was ordered classified. I dared, in my book, The Energy Not, it's the only place you'll find it. Nowhere on the face of this earth will you find this information except in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. It was written in 1980. It went out of print about 2 years ago. There was such a demand for it that we put it on Amazon Kindle. If you want to get it, you can go to Amazon Kindle and get a copy of The Energy Non-Crisis. And in it, there's a chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. And I told the details of the perforation of the pipe, the deep depth of the well, everything about Gull Island. And 35 years, the oil companies have kept that hidden, except in my book, which they couldn't hide it because it finally came out. I was threatened once because of it. But they couldn't stop it because it was already in print. But this summer, everything I said 35 years ago was finally proven to be true. They put the largest oil rig that has ever been built on the face of the earth on Gull Island, and they're drilling right now. They know that under that little spot out in the Arctic Ocean is the mother lobe of all oil fields, the largest oil pool on the face of the earth. But the elite also know that they must bring that oil out. How are they going to get it to market? First of all, they can't carry it through the Arctic Ocean. It freezes up for 9 months out of the year. You can't get around by Fort Wainwright. It's frozen all the way across. Secondly, they can't take that oil down the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. Now, those of you who are oil men, and you're familiar with the oil patch, you'll understand what I'm about to say. Every so many weeks, they must run what is called a pig down a oil pipeline. It scrapes off all of the paraffin that collects against the pipe, and if they didn't do that, the pipe would literally close up like an artery of a person's body can do if you get too much plaque and so on in it. And they run what is called a pig down that pipeline, and it's a round ball with little things that look like razor blades all over it, and it literally scrapes the plaque and the paraffin out of that pipe. Now, in the course of this, and the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline is over 35 years of age, in the course of this, every time they run that pig down that pipeline every so many days, it cuts into the pipe because of being abrasive. And therefore, the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline is worn so thin after 35 years that they cannot force 2.5 million barrels of oil, which it was designed for originally. They cannot force that down the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline anymore. And the state of Alaska and the ecologists will not allow the oil companies to build another pipeline across the state of Alaska. They've totally refused, and the elite know that they must bring that oil out. How are they going to get it here? They had depended on the Keystone Pipeline to bring that oil to market, and Mr. Obama double-crossed the elite. Now, are you catching this? Now, I call my elitist friend just after he canceled out on the Keystone Pipeline. Now, you go to the web and look for the Liberty rig that is right now on Gull Island on the north slope of Alaska. You'll find everything I'm saying to be true, and it verifies the chapter in my book, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will, in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. Now, they double-crossed the elite, and after they canceled the Keystone Pipeline, I was upset, and I called my elitist friend, and I said, did he? Yes. I said, how are you going to get the oil out? We can't. I said, oh, what's the matter? Are you ready? I hope you've got those pencils and paper ready. The expression, I couldn't believe I was hearing what I was hearing. I said, why did Mr. Obama cancel out on the Keystone Pipeline? His exact words was, Chaplain, he is a Muslim. Now, I'm telling you exactly what this man said. He is one that knows everything that goes on behind closed doors. He said, he is a Muslim. I said, what are you talking about? He said, in favor of his Muslim brethren. Now, I'm saying exactly what he said. In favor of his Muslim brethren, he canceled out on the Keystone Pipeline because of his friends in Saudi Arabia and other Muslim countries, because they have given so many millions to his previous campaign. And why did he wait for 2 weeks? Now, think back on this. You look in the news media and find out, if I'm not telling it exactly as it was, he gave a date. He was going to say that you can build a Keystone Pipeline or not build it. He waited 2 weeks, and everybody wondered why he was sitting there procrastinating and not doing anything about it. And he did nothing. He was waiting on his Muslim friends to guarantee him millions and millions of dollars for his next campaign for presidency. And the exact words from my elitist friends is, he is a Muslim. And I said, wait a minute. Okay.
He said that. I've seen him say that on a couple of videos where he's been doing press conferences in like Kenya and Saudi Arabia, things like that, and he talks about our faith and he's talking to a whole bunch of Muslims and things of that nature. So, you know, that holds a lot of weight, I think.
Yes, and he's in trouble. Now, this is to your advantage and mine. Please, if you want a change of the administration in Washington, D.C. right now, you may get it. Now, my elitist friend was so angry. I'm not going to use his words. He was so angry. He was so upset. He was livid. And he had some very choice words. Now, Mr. Obama may not get reelected. Oh, you say, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that the elite can they sure can determine who's going to be the next president of the United States of America. They choose every president. They know who's going to be up there. They can take the national liberal media and make any person they want to a president of the United States of America. If they could put in Jimmy Carter, they could put in anybody in the world. The national liberal media can put in anybody that they want to put in as president of the United States of America, and they can keep Mr. Obama from getting next presidency. They may not allow him to be reelected because he double-crossed them on the Keystone Pipeline. Now, this is to our advantage. And for those of you who would like to see a change of administration in Washington, D.C., you may see it just because of the fact that the elite right now are literally so upset at Mr. Obama. Now, in 3 hours, I cover so much more in our new series, Secrets of the Elite. You have those pencils and paper handy there. Please jot down our toll-free number, if you will. Our toll-free number for the new series, Secrets of the Elite, will be, the first ones will be shipped out next week. They're finishing up right now with the copying of these and editing and copying, and the very first copies of this will go out next week. Four of the leading financial advisors of America, you will see them. You will actually have the telephone number of the Tom Fowler, the Wall Street Insider, if you want to call him. Our toll-free number is 888-799-6111. Or you can go on the web if you'd like and find a full description of the new series. And the website is www.prophecyclub.com, PROPHECYCLUB.com, or our toll-free line, 24 hours a day. Operators will be standing by. You can call in the middle of the night, middle of the daytime, matters not. And, oh, by the way, you'll hear an American operator on that line. Our toll-free line is 1-888-799-6111.
All right, and we'll be right back after the break. Final segment coming out with Pastor Lindsay Williams from prophecyclub.com. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the future, live from New Zealand, fabulously little fluoridated capital of Auckland. Oh, yeah. And it's really nice down here in the South Pacific, especially since Fukushima, because everybody's got a little bit of extra pocket money because they've got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. Lindsay Williams is my guest. Now, I'm not sure if you had already said it, but I was wanting to know precisely like the date of when the economy is going to be forcibly collapsed or the dollar's going to be dead. I mean, have you got that information?
The New World Order wants a new currency. That currency will be backed by gold and silver, and that'll be the next subject that I'll cover here in just a moment as to what currency that they have advised me to immediately get into. The New World currency is a part of the New World Order, and it's every bit of part of what the elite are doing, what they want. They want to bring in their New World Order according to their plan. It is not a part of their plan to have riots and civil disorder. They don't want that. Now, you've noticed how the Occupy Wall Street movement just kind of died down. I predicted this from the beginning while others were saying it was going to get stronger and stronger. The elite do not want disruptions. They do not want riots. They do not want civil disorder. They want to bring in the New World Order to the point of getting everything in such massive, massive debt that people will be begging for a new currency, begging for the New World Order, being willing to give up their constitution for the sake of a pittance of what they will give to them. Now, let me go into what they have advised me. Back numbers of years ago, I was on the phone with one of my elitist friends, and he said, "Chaplain, do you know what our currency is?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Gold and silver." He said, "It is not paper." The elite have long since gotten out of paper. They hold enough that they can kind of do what they want to do and wouldn't mind losing it. But the major part of their assets are in gold and silver. And he said to me, he said, "Chaplain, if you want to preserve your purchasing power in light of what's going to take place," he said, "there's only one way you can do it." And he said, "That is gold and silver." Now, I do not sell it. You couldn't buy an ounce of gold or silver from me if you wanted to. I just heard a company advertise here a moment ago on this network, Benny, when we were having one of the advertisements. You know where to go and get gold and silver. The main thing is you need to know what kind to buy. And I'm just giving you the advice that my elitist friends have given to me. You need to buy gold and silver that's minted by the United States Mint. Now, let me tell you why. The state of Utah was the first state, to my knowledge, to say, actually passed a law saying gold and silver must be used in this state, must be accepted by the grocery store, the hardware store, the drug store, any place, must be accepted as payment for debt. It is legal tender. Now, foreign coins aren't. Only coins minted by the United States Mint are legal tender. And there'll be many other states now that are in the process of passing such laws. They have not found a way to implement it yet, but at least it's there. And it would be a method of you being able to get by whenever the paper collapses and they bring in that new world order currency. You need to purchase coins, silver and gold, minted by the United States Mint, that can be used for legal tender in the United States. And if at all possible, please get a goodly supply of pre-1933 gold coins. Here's why. In 1933, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt said Americans aren't allowed to own gold anymore, and then they came back and allowed Americans to own gold just a few years ago, and now, of course, gold is the rage of people who are really in the know. So, and they said, but there was a law passed at the time that Americans were allowed to own gold again, that any gold coin minted prior to 1933, minted by the United States Mint, that it could not be confiscated by the United States government in the future at any time. It's already on the laws federally. They cannot confiscate pre-1933 gold coins, and they, of course, cannot confiscate any silver coin, whether it be minted in 2012, 2011, or way along the line, the one-ounce silver coins minted by the United States Mint, and no gold coins prior to 1933 can be confiscated. You need to have it so that you can survive on it, and there will be a time that it will put food on your table, and it will help you. I'm just trying my best to tell you some of the things that they have told me that will be of great help to you in maintaining your lifestyle at the time that the elite bring in that new world order. Now, I'm not so sure they're going to be able to do it. I want to give you some real encouragement right here. I have been at this for 35 years. I left the mission field back 35 years ago and have traveled to every state in America. I've lectured in every state in America with the exception of Maine. I wish somebody in Maine would invite me so that I could say I've lectured in every state in America. I've been to Australia. I've been down in your part of the country, Vinny. I've lectured in Australia. I did a tour there of 27 cities, and I've been in New Zealand and many countries of the world lecturing. This is not new for me, and I am seeing today an awakening of the American people, and it is so exciting. I'm seeing more awakening today than I've ever seen in the 35 years that I've been doing this, and there's only one thing I learned when I was living with the elite. There was only one thing that they're afraid of, only one. Now, money is no factor for them. They have enough that some of them could have written a check for $1 million a day the rest of their life and never spent their fortune. Money is not the issue. There's only one thing they're afraid of. They are scared to death of the masses waking up. It's the only thing that bothers them. That's the reason they rolled gasoline prices at the pump back last summer instead of taking them on up to where they had intended on taking them, because too many people were going to the pump, filling up the SUVs, costing over $100, and Americans were beginning to learn the issues and wake up, and so they've scaled it back for a while. Now they're taking it back up very gradually so that you won't wake up too fast. They don't want Americans to learn the issues. Folks, listen to Benny Eastwood's show on American Freedom Radio every day. You've got to listen to the truth and be advised of the issues, and please help me get out this new DVD series, Secrets of the Elite. When you inform people, it's the one thing that frightens the elite more than anything else. And, Vinny, I am just so happy you're out there, and I'm so glad that your network is there.
On that point, could you give us a soundbite that we could put into the loop? Just say, I'm Pastor Lindsay Williams, and you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio.
Yes, I would highly recommend that you listen to American Freedom Radio, that you tune in to the Vinny Eastwood Show every day. You've got to, in order to stay abreast of the issues, because things are traveling so fast.
Mm-mm, thank you very much. Cut. There we go. I've always wanted to do that. You know, I'd love to get one from like J. Edward Griffin and all these other great big awesome guests that we have on this show, because I think you know Lindsay, the reason why I appreciate what you do so much is because you're doing it not because you have to, but because you really want to.
Vinny, you're right. And in fact, you called me this afternoon. I was sitting here working on my computer, and you had sent me an email. And then your producer called me and said, can you go on the show right now? Yes, I laid everything down. I said to my son, whom I homeschool, he's 18 years of age, I said, I'm going to be on the show for 2 hours. He said, huh? I said, yes. and Vin Eastwood show. It's a privilege to be here. Now, that's the reason we produce the DVDs we do also, and I've only covered a very minute part. I had something very unusual happened back in 1984. My book, Energy Non-Crisis, came out in 1980. And about 1984, I had a group to contact me one day, and they said, Chaplain, would you be interested in helping us out? And I said, what do you mean? They said, we have seminars in the Bahamas, and our job is to train people as to how the elite live and think. This is what they said. They said, we have teaching seminars in the Bahamas to teach the lifestyle and the methods of the elite. And I said, I've never heard of anything like this. I had lived with these people for 3 years, and I knew how they dressed, whether they were drinkers or smokers. I knew all of the intricate. I knew that who their girlfriends were. I knew everything else because I'd lived with them for 3 years and heard them talk about all this. But I said, okay, I'll come out to one of your seminars and see if I'd be willing to send some people out there to learn these things. And I did. I was amazed. The most beautiful place you could imagine, a resort in the Bahamas, private beach, everything else imaginable. And then they said, okay, if you will send some people out from time to time to help us, every other month we'll pay your way out here free of charge to provide your airline ticket. For about 2 years, I went out almost every other month for about a week, and I heard the finest speakers in the world, the most outstanding folks they are. I heard how congressmen can go in as a middle-class American and 3 or 4 terms later come out multimillionaires. I was amazed. I heard about inside trading. I heard what the judges are taught whenever they become a federal judge all over America. And some lawyers know it. Very few know it, but some lawyers know it. And I learned the secrets of the elite and as to how they handle. I was listening in 1984 to them talking about free trade and outsourcing. And you had not even heard those expressions yet. I heard them talking about derivatives back in those days, and I didn't even know what a derivative was. But I was listening to them talking about their future plans of what the elite were going to do. And I have just decided, since Mr. Fromm passed away, and my other elitist friend is in his 70s, I have never done this before. I produced this new series, Secrets of the Elite, and I have told all the secrets that I learned out there in those days. I tell how the elite, according to how wealthy they are, take their wealth to the Cayman Islands. All the elite of all of them is Liechtenstein. And down from there, if you have a little less wealth, you'd go into the Isle of Man. And if you have a little less wealth than that, you'll go to Belize. And if you have a little less wealth than you could take to the Cayman Islands, which would be a few million, then you could go to the Turks Islands for the cheap people who don't know how to, don't have the money to pay for the others.
Sorry, Lindsay. We've run out of time. We've run out of time, unfortunately. Lindsay Williams, everybody, prophecyclub.com.